Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, it's good to have each one of you with us, and if you're just joining us, we're in the middle of a series in the Gospel of Mark, and last week we looked at a story. It's called The Story of the Rich Young Ruler, and it's a story that actually takes place in three of the Gospel accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So it's really important that we understand. Anytime we see that in the Bible, it's important that it's like God saying, like, hey, you really want to know what's happening in this story. This is really, really big. And so this is one of those stories that we need to lean into. And what happened last week is we saw this this guy who was extremely rich, the Bible says. He comes to Jesus, and he's rich, he's got a tan, he's healthy, he's wealthy, he's got like 100,000 followers on Instagram. He's the guy that you're like, wow, this guy, like the disciples all probably knew who he was. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus tells him to sell everything he has, give it to the poor, and then come follow him. And the Bible says he left sad. And this is like a little bit confusing to the disciples, because they're thinking, and in that day, in the Jewish mindset, they would have thought, man, if anybody's blessed by God, that guy is. Like, if anybody's blessed by God, then he must be. He's a good guy. He's rich. And he seems to have it all together. This is confusing. And so it launches Jesus into a discussion with his disciples about money and about giving. And we watch how they're processing in that. And they come up with this question, like, basically, what happens when we give through this discussion? Like, they're just not sure how it works. And so we're going to pick it up in this discussion in verse 23, Mark chapter 10. We'll put it on the screen so we can all read it together. It says, "And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God.' And the disciples were amazed." They're like astonished and confused and like, man, I thought that guy would be saved. And he says, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "I don't know, man, who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." And I want us to stop right there, because Jesus has just delivered an amazing statement. He said, "With all things are possible with God." That's a good word, isn't it? Like, whatever you're walking through, however big it is, all things are possible with God. God is able in any situation. All things are possible with God. And this is an amazing statement, one of the greatest statements Jesus gives us in the Gospels. And the disciples, while Jesus is saying this, they're like, hold up. Like, you just probably see the confusion on their faces. Like, we're a little confused. And aren't you thankful, like, for Peter sometimes in the Bible? Because I know we give Peter a hard time. We're like, Peter, man, that guy's a train wreck. Always opening his big mouth. That Peter guy, man, he can't get it together. But honestly, I'm like, oh, man, I'm so thankful for Peter. Because whenever he opens his mouth, like, he just basically says what everybody's thinking. But he's the only one who's willing to say it. Like, have you ever, like, when you were in class, I don't know if this ever happened to you, and, like, they're given, like, the instructions for the final exam or whatever's happened, something really important is being said, and you're like, this could affect my entire semester. And you're like, and I have a question, but I don't really want to ask because I don't want to look dumb. So I hope that person who always talks in class asks the question for me. That's Peter, all right? The disciples are all sitting there. They're like, man, I thought that guy would be saved. And now I'm not really sure how anything works on anything. And then they're thinking, but I don't think. And like, maybe Peter, please ask the question. And Peter's like, I got it, guys. He's like, so yeah, I love it. Even in the passage we're reading, it's like, and Peter began saying. It's like, he's not really thinking about what he's saying. He just starts talking because that's what Peter does. And we're all thankful for it, because we're going to learn a little bit about what's happening here. And Peter asks a question that I think this passage, if we look at it closely, really brings up in all of us. Because the disciples and Peter, they've given when it comes to following Jesus. They literally gave up their livelihood to follow Jesus. And so they see this guy and they're like, man, I thought when we follow Jesus, that's where we end up. Like, this guy, he's extremely rich. He's a good guy. He's got it all together. And then they find out, hey, that guy's not even saved. Like, he's out. And they're like, whoa, hold up. We've given a lot. So what happens? And that's, they're just confused. They're like, God, I understand you're calling us to be with you. You asked us to come with you and you asked us to give. But what happens when we give? And that's exactly Peter's question. We're going to put it up on the screen. Peter began to say to him, see, we've left everything to follow you. And in Matthew's account, we really get the heart of the question. It says, Peter said in reply, see, we left everything to follow you. What then will we have? What do we get? Like, God, we've given, like, so how does that work? And I think on the surface level, we can think, well, that's kind of a selfish question. Jesus would be like, Peter, I mean, like, we just talked about who's the greatest, and we're talking about, like, hey, if anyone wants to follow me, he's got to take up his cross and follow me. And Peter, I just don't think, like, you're getting it, man. Like, you'd almost expect Jesus to reply that way. But Jesus treats it as a legitimate question. Like, and I think when we hear it on the surface, we're going to hear like, oh, Jesus, we followed you. What do we get? And I think the tone would be better read this way. Like, okay, God, if he's out, like, and I thought like when we give, like that we somehow are going to end up there, then God, how does giving work? Because God, I'll do what you ask me to do, but I just want to know how it works. Like, when I give, like, do you bless me? Or when I give, am I giving to honor you? Or when I give, are we storing up treasure in heaven? Or how does it work? Because I'm hearing different things and seeing different things. And when you talk about, like, people who have money, it sounds like you don't like when people have money or, you know. And so how does this all work, Jesus? And it's a really great question, like, what happens when we give? And so that is what we're going to talk about this morning. What happens when we give? Because this passage, Jesus is going to answer this question. And I think, honestly, it will surprise you what Jesus says. And so, you know, when we think about what happens when we give, we're gonna write a few things on the whiteboard. I know if, like, you didn't like school growing up, this is like, we're in church. This is like redeemed school, all right? This is like the best it's ever, like, it's awesome, okay? It's like God blesses everything that happens in church, right? So, and then if you love school, you're like geeking out right now because we're gonna write on a whiteboard, all right? So everybody wins. So we're gonna ask the question, what happens? All right, we're gonna write it out here. What happens when we give? All right, I'm trying to write as thick as possible. So what happens when we give? There's a few options. A few things can happen when we give. First, I think everybody would be with us on this one. We give to honor God and for our joy. We give to honor God and for our joy. Anytime we honor God, we get joy out of it. God commands us to be baptized. If you say, God, you commanded me to baptize, I'm going to get baptized. God will bless you with joy. That honors the Lord. We do it to honor God and for his glory. So we got honor God right here. So that's an option of, like, what happens when we give. Secondly, we can give to store up treasure in heaven. All right? Treasure in heaven. The Bible says, and Jesus talking says, do not store up treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. And so we can say, what happens when we give? We are doing it to honor God and we get joy out of honoring him. And we're storing up, or we're storing up treasure in heaven. Whoa, there's a table there. Then there's a third option, and I think this is when maybe we start to get a little uncomfortable. We go, when we give, God blesses us materially. because you're all watching me. I'm like, I know. It's like when somebody's watching when you're typing, you know, you're like, I thought I could type, but I completely forgot how to use a computer, all right? Wow, what's happening to me? Just Google it. All right. Materially. Got it! Woo! Hashtag winning, okay? So there we go. So what happens when we give? We give to honor God, we give for treasure in heaven, or we give so God will bless us materially. Which one is it? And that's what Peter's asking. He's saying, Jesus, I want to follow you, and I want to do anything you ask me to do. But I also want to understand what's happening. Like, can you explain this to me? God, you understand, and God, you know everything. And I hear, like, sometimes I hear it's like, when you give, you honor God. That's what you're doing it for. When you give, you're storing up treasure in heaven. Sometimes I hear it's both of these. Sometimes I hear, you know, maybe you bless us materially. Maybe it's for sometimes when you give, God blesses you materially. Sometimes when you give, God says, hey, you're storing up treasure in heaven and honoring him. And these are great, great things. These are actually better than that. Treasure in heaven is better than that. I promise when we all step into eternity, we're going to be glad when we stored up some treasure in heaven because it's better than that. It's better to honor God than to have anything. But does God bless materially when we give? What happens when we give? That's the question Peter's asking. And Jesus' response is crazy. Jesus says, you know what? He doesn't go, hey, that's a bad question, or hey, I wish you wouldn't have asked that, or hey, let me give you some sort of quick answer. Jesus says, you know what? That's a great question. If you're asking that this morning, if you're like, God, I hear that I need to give. I hear that you're calling me to give. I know that's something you want me to do. But what happens when I give? God would say, and you hear the heart of Christ in this passage, hey, that's a good question. So Jesus gives his disciples three insights about what happens when we give. And really, it ends up being all of these. What happens when we give? We honor God, we treasure in heaven. God blesses us materially. And that's in the Bible. Whoa, marker. That's in the Bible. That God does all of these. So let's look at it and see the insights Jesus gives us. It says this in Mark chapter 10. It says, Peter began to say, see, we left everything to follow you. And Jesus understands this is a question about material things. This is about material. Does God bless materially? Because listen to his response. He says, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or your mother-in-law. Oh, wait, that's not in there. Or your children or lands. For my sake, my mother-in-law's probably watching right now. For my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses, brothers, sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions in the age to come, eternal life. But many are first. Who are first will be last and the last will be first. So I want to look at that first part there. It says this. So we left everything. Jesus says, I assure you, truly means like you can take this to the bank. I assure you, this is going to happen, that there is no one who has left, no one who has given, who will not receive. There's not one person who's given who won't receive. There's not one person who's taken a step of faith and said, God, I'm going to honor you, and they're not going to receive. Not one. You know, sometimes we can wonder, you know, God, I think you want me to do this, or I'm going to step out and I'm going to start giving. And when you give, you can think, man, it's just forgotten. You know, they say money talks, and you put it in, and you're like saying, your money's like, bye, I'll see you later, never coming back. But that's not happening. God's taking account. God's watching. This is Jesus talking. There's not one person who's going to give to God for the gospel and for Christ's sake to build the kingdom of God who God doesn't say, hey, I saw that. Not one. There is not one who will not receive. There is not one who will not receive. I think you have to almost say it and think about it a little bit, because sometimes we just gloss over it and we think, maybe. No, this is Jesus talking. He's saying there's not even one person, not one time you're going to give and you're not going to receive. When we give, God recognizes that we gave. God sees it. God takes account of it. You know, I think of a verse in Matthew, and it says, anyone who gives even a cup of cold water to somebody because he's my disciple, he will by no means lose his reward. There is, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water, that's small. That God's saying, even something small that you gave, even something small that you did, there's not even a cup of cold water that I won't remember, and I'm going to reward that. God recognizes when we give. God sees when we give. It can seem like, you know, the enemy wants you to think, God, you know, that's not very much, or God doesn't see that, or God doesn't care, or God doesn't recognize that. No, God says, there is not one person. The NLT says, everyone who gives, everyone, I see it. Everyone who gives will receive. Everyone who gives, I recognize it. Isn't that a great thought? That God's actually watching to see when you're going to step out and you're going to honor him. And that's true about any part of our life, that whenever we give something to God, he blesses it. He recognizes it. Maybe you've never given your life to God. Maybe you've never started walking with God and you're like, man, I don't know. If I take that step towards God, how does that work? I promise you, you give your life to God, he will see it, he will recognize it, and not one person who says, I'm going to give to God, will not receive. Not one person. Now, yeah, and listen to this, that oftentimes we're like, yes, will not receive spiritual blessing, all right? Those are the most important things. But when we get over here, we get a little uncomfortable, and we say, well, not one person who's given will not receive. Is that true? Because that's what Jesus is saying. He's talking about material things, and he's saying, you know what? If you give, and you say, God, I'm going to honor you with my wealth, and I'm going to honor you with what you've given me, then God says, I'm going to bless you. And there's not one person who says that, I'm going to do that, who's not going to receive. And when Jesus says it, he's pretty careful to make a list of material things, both before, not one who gives this, 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 and this, will not receive the same things. That it's not, hey, I gave that, and then God just gave me a spiritual blessing. No, God says, hey, if you give that, I'm going to bless you materially. Not one person will not receive. Not one person will not receive. But he gives us a second insight. He says this, not only do I recognize when you give, but I reward when you give. I think, first of all, it's all over the Bible that God is a rewarder of people. It's all over the Bible. In fact, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anybody who believes God exists, or anybody who comes to God must believe he exists, and why is this important? And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That God is a rewarder of people. You can't read the Bible and think of heaven and not think God is a rewarder of people. You can't read the Bible and think of, hey, if you read the word, I'm going to reward you. You know what? You reward people according to their righteousness. That's in the Bible. But the fact that God rewards us when we give to him is all over the Bible. And if we don't understand that, honestly, that puts us in a position where we're the blesser of ourselves. Any blessing that we have, we think it's our responsibility to have it, and it makes us hold on tighter to our things. It doesn't loosen us up if we don't believe that. If we think these two are true, but this may or may not be true, we find it hard to give. And so what happens is we go to give, and we go, okay, God's called me to give. This is a big step, but I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it. Okay, I'm going to give. Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, I'm going to give because God calls me to give. And we start giving. But you know, I might get thirsty. And all because we get thirsty, I'm, My tongue's a little dry, like we get thirsty. But I God's calling me to give. So, and he says he'll give it back to me. So I'm gonna give a little bit more, You know what? I'll just do it. And the Bible says, hey, God gives it back to you. And so we're thankful for that. We go, okay, God's gonna give it back to me. That's awesome. Look at, he's giving it back. That's awesome. We're thankful for that. We're like, well, at least I have some water to make things happen if I need to, or, you know, God's true to his word. He gives it back. And we think in that mentality, like, thanks, God. That's awesome. Like, and I want to honor you, God, and I appreciate the fact that you give back. You don't have to do that. That's very generous of you, God. Everything I had was yours anyway. Thanks for giving it back. And we have, I have less than I started with, but I still have something. But the Bible says that's not, if that's where you're at today, that's not scriptural. 100% not scriptural. The Bible has scripture over and over and over again to say, hey, when you give, we'll look at it in Mark 10. What does Jesus say when you give? He says, for my sake and for the gospel. So if you give something to build the church, build the kingdom of God, who will not receive 100-fold when? In heaven? No, when? Now in this time. God's gonna bless you now. And 100-fold, that's 10,000%. If somebody was standing in here and saying, you know what? I know some of you are getting ready for retirement, or I know some of you are wanting to invest for the future for your kids for college, or whatever you're wanting to invest in. And they said, I'll give you a 20% return on your money guaranteed. And they were a credible person, you would be like, sign me up for that. 100-fold is 10,000%. 10,000%. God promises to bless you. Now, this isn't just in this passage. Generally speaking, the Bible says when you give, there's blessing that comes to that. You think of Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 says, one freely gives, yet grows all the richer, yet another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Another withholds what he should give. The message says the world of the generous gets larger and larger. So there's increase that comes into your life when you give, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And so if I withhold this, I'm actually going to end up with less, the Bible says. But if I give, the scripture we're reading today, where Jesus is talking and says it in multiple places, says, if you give, I'm gonna bless you with 100-fold. So I wanna show you kind of what 100-fold looks like. This is 100 water bottles, okay? 100 water bottles right here. And so 100-fold is not only God promising to give back what you gave, but he's gonna give you back what you gave plus 100-fold. Plus 100-fold. Now, you need more scripture. Luke 6 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be put into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So it doesn't say give and it will be given back to you exactly what you gave. It says running over. God's gonna pour out blessing in your life. Now, listen to this. We'll go to the next scripture. It says, whoever sows sparingly, this is Paul taking an offering, okay? Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So if you want to be blessed, you have to give. You know, you talk about God recognizes when we give. He, the one who gives will not fail to receive. The same thing's true. God can only bless what you give him. So the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But to the one who sows generously, they'll also reap generously. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, God keeps pouring in. God says, you gave to me, I'm gonna give back to you, but I'm not gonna give just what you gave back. I'm gonna bless you so you can be more of a blessing. This isn't about you having things. This is about you being blessed so you can be a blessing. That's how God works. God's heart is for you to be generous because God is generous. We are little Christ. We're Christians, little Christ. That doesn't mean we have this small mentality that says, you know what? I hope I have enough. hope I can give. I know, you know, when I give, God gives me a little bit back, and that's what he always does. No. No, that's not how God works. God's a generous God. You know, you think of that scripture. Jesus says, I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I came that you might have life, life to the fullest. And so when we give, whether we give our life or we give our finances, God says, I see that you gave. I see that kind of faith. And you know what? I'm going to pour it back into you. I'm going to give you more than enough. But we'll look at another scripture. In Malachi chapter 3, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. We talked about this before. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing. You can't contain it. God's going to keep pouring in. God wants to bless you. God loves to bless people. God's not looking at you and going, you know what? You should give to me just because, you know what? I've been really kind to you, and you should give just because I've been good to you. You should do it just because it's the right thing to do. Now, listen, if God said that to us, it would be true. And we should do it because he tells us to do it. You know, God saved us, and so that's good. But God doesn't say that. He says you should give so you can store up treasure in heaven. And that's really generous. But God doesn't just say that. God says you should give so you can watch me be generous to you, and then you can be generous to other people. And I'm going to pour out when you do. You watch. I'm going to pour out such a blessing that you can't contain it. And in fact, you know how long it took me to pour that one bottle in? Not very long. But I keep pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring because that's how the blessing of God works. I promise you, you do it, you watch, he's going to keep pouring it out. Keep pouring it out. Is that how you see God? Is that how you see God? This isn't about you wanting stuff. This is about how you view the generosity of God. If God is somebody that pours out so you are blessed and so you can know the joy of giving and so you can build the kingdom of God, and as you begin to build, God begins to bless, and he blesses so much that you can't contain it. You can't. I still got tons of water bottles over here, and it's full. So much overflowing, so you can't contain it. And I want to submit to you that if you have the opposite view, that God may or may not give back, and if he does, he just gives you back a little bit, then you're not going to be more generous, you're going to be less generous. Now, I'm not going to be more generous, I'm going to be less generous. Because the view that God blesses only makes you more generous. There's a difference between wanting to be blessed and wanting to be rich. Big difference. And the Bible is pro you wanting to be blessed. The Bible never says, you want to be blessed, I can't believe. The Bible says, you want to be blessed, that's a good thing. You know, I think of Jacob. He wrestles the angel in the Old Testament, and he says, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me. And that is a good thing. You think of the prayer of Jabez, you know, oh, that you would bless me, that your hand would be with me. That's a good thing. To desire the blessing of God is a good thing. And that desire makes you more generous, because the only way to blessing, the only way to the blessing of God in your finances, in your life, is giving. That's the only way you get there. You get rich by gathering. You be blessed by giving. So the third insight that Jesus gives his disciples is that giving realigns your priorities. Giving, when you give, God recognizes it, God rewards it, but it's going to realign your whole thinking. You know, if we want to be rich, we think, all right, when I'm rich, I'll give. When I'm rich, I'll give. The blessed person and the person that wants to be blessed doesn't think, when I'm rich, I'll give. The blessed person says, I want to be blessed, so I want to be blessed, therefore I do give. It's not about what I have, it's about what I give. The rich person's about gathering. As much as I can get, as much as I can gather, That's how much I have, and if I can hold on to it. The blessed person's about giving, because the more I give, the more I get. That's awesome. And the more I get, the more I can give. And you see, that's how God works, that you be blessed. God has such a big heart for people. Now, Jesus doesn't say this and say, you know what? Because oftentimes when people want to be rich, what do they want to do? They want to insulate themselves. Like, your desire to be rich would be like, man, if I could just have more money, then I would have less problems. And I think when you say it, like people are like, well, it's true that money it doesn't actually make less problems. But in your heart, if your desire is to be rich, you are, honestly are still thinking that. You're thinking, if I have more money, I'll have less problems. If I have more money, then I'll be more secure. If I have more money, then I'll be safer. And the blessed person doesn't say, if I have more blessing, then I'll never have problems. If I have more blessing, then I'll be insulated. If I have more blessing, that's more protection, because the protection and all that you need comes from God when you have a blessing mentality. And Jesus doesn't say, you know what, give and I'll multiply it back to you 100-fold and you won't have any problems. No, he says, give, and now in this time, I'm going to bless you. In this life, you're going to be blessed. In this life, it's going to be multiplied to, but what? We'll put it on the screen, with persecutions. It says that, you put the whole passage on the screen. Yeah, that with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. So Jesus isn't saying you won't have any problems. In fact, Jesus says, in this world, you have trouble, but I have overcome the world. But that the first will be last, and the last will be first. You know, we can read that and think, God doesn't want you to have anything. God doesn't want you to be blessed. God doesn't want you to have stuff. And Jesus isn't saying that because of what he just said. He's saying, if you make it about being first, if you make it about how much can I gather, then you're going to be last. But if you make it about being blessed, and it's about how much I can give, that's when your stuff that God's going to pour into your life isn't about you. It's about honoring him, and it's about loving people and blessing him and building the church. Building the church. You know, he says, if you give it for my sake and for the gospel, I'm going to multiply it 100-fold and give it back to you. And then you can build more, and you can give more. And that changes and realigns your priorities. You know, some of you this morning have thought, man, I can't give because if I give, I don't know. I don't know if God will see it. I don't know if he'll care. And I don't know if I can give because I don't know if I have enough and I need to make sure and I need this. And Jesus is saying, you don't have to be afraid to give. And it's all over the Bible. So the question is, whether we have the faith to believe God and take him at his word and say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. And if I'm going to be a part of what you're doing, I know you're going to bless me back. And you're going to bless me, and I'm going to be more of a blessing. And that's the generous heart of God, that he loves to bless people. You know, some of you haven't given your life to God. Like, you're not following God, and you're just not sure how that would go down, or you're not sure how God thinks of you. How does God see you, and does God want you to walk with him and be with him, or do you have to clean yourself up and figure everything out before you come to God? And, you know, the Bible says God's kindness leads us to repentance, that we serve a generous God, that God rises to show us compassion. He longs to be gracious to us, that God's just waiting to say, hey, if you honor me, oh, I'm going to bless that. Oh, you're going to honor me there? I'm going to bless that. Oh, you're going to give? I'm going to bless you. And watch. And honestly, I've seen it played out in so many people's lives. I've seen it played out over and over again. The generous person prospers. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Whenever you give to God, he multiplies back. God says to you, if you give your life to me, I'm going to bless you. If you give your life to me today, I'm going to multiply it back to you. And I'm going to pour out such blessing, you can't contain it. I come that you might have life more abundantly. God loves you. He cares about you. He's not trying to say, hey, do this and do that and do this and do that and see what happens. No, God's like, I love you. And anytime you honor me, anytime you take a step towards me, anytime you say, God, I'm going to be a builder and be a part of what you're doing, God says, I want to bless that. I want to bless that. And I don't want to just give you back what you gave me. I want to multiply it and give it back to you in abundance. That's the heart of our God. He cares so, so much about you. And he's not looking for you to be perfect. He's not looking for you to figure it all out. He's saying, just give to me. Just give me your life and watch what I do with it. Just give me that situation. Give me your life with all your regrets. Give me your life with all your shortcomings. Give me your life and watch what I do with it. Watch how I bless it. Some of you think, man, it's a church, coming to church is about, man, how good can I be when I'm in this room? And if I do enough good, then I can know the blessing of God. And God says, no, no, no. Just give to me. Give me your life. Give me anything you give to me. I'm going to bless you because I love you. I'm a generous God. Let's pray this morning.